Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, we will be talking about a stock that was suggested by a subscriber. That stock is called Valero. Valero Energy Corp is one of the largest independent refiners in the United States. And today, we will be reviewing the company's three key operating segments, the key ratios, performing a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis to find the intrinsic value of the company, and finally do an expected rate of return calculation to see if you were to invest in Valero at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on this investment? So let's dive in and analyze Valero.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10-K, which is the annual report that Valero filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2020. And on page 4 of this report, the company provides a business overview. Valero says that it owns 15 petroleum refineries that produce conventional gasoline, premium gasoline, reformulated gasoline, gasoline meeting the specifications of the California Air Resources Board, diesel, low sulfur diesel, ultra low sulfur diesel, carb diesel, other distillates, jet fuel, asphalt, petrochemicals, lubricants, and other refined petroleum products. Valero is also in a joint venture where it owns a plant that produces renewable diesel, and it also owns 13 ethanol plants that produce ethanol and various co-products. In short, Valero produces refined petroleum products, renewable diesel, and ethanol. On page 6 of the report, we can find the three operating segments that Valero reports in. The first one is the refining segment, second is the renewable diesel segment, and the third is the ethanol segment. On page 129 of this report, the company breaks down the revenue that is being brought in from each segment. The revenue is the amount of sales that the company generates, and we can see that the refining segment brings in about $60.8 out of the $64.9 billion that the company made in 2020, which means that for the year 2020, 94% of the company's total revenue came in from its refining segment. The renewable diesel brought in about $1 billion, and the ethanol segment brought in about $3 billion. After that, looking at the revenue by geographic area, Valero says that the geographic area is based on locations of its customers, and no customer accounts for 10% or more of its revenue. This is good news, as it means that Valero is not overly dependent on just one customer for its sales. When we look at the breakdown for the year 2020, about 70% of the company's 2020 revenue came from the United States. And lastly, looking at the long-lived assets, including property, plant, and equipment, we can see that for the year 2020, about 88% of the company's total assets are located in the United States. Now that we have a brief overview of Valero's business model and its three operating segments and how the refining segment brings in the lion's share of the company's revenue, let's dive deeper and review the company's fundamentals by analyzing its key ratios. Hey guys, now let's look at Valero's key ratios. I'm a Morningstar looking at Valero Energy Corp. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company made in sales. Back in 2011, the company brought in about $126 billion in sales. And for the year 2020, it was about $65 billion. When we look at the past 10-year trend, we can see the cyclicality in this business. As back in 2012, the revenue was about $139 billion. Then it dropped to about $76 billion in 2016. It rose back up to about $117 billion in 2018, and then it dropped back off in 2020 due to the reduced demand for refined crude oil products. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods and its operating expenses. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about $3.6 billion. For the year 2019, it was about $3.8 billion. For the year 2020, it was a negative number, which indicates that the company's cost of goods and operating expenses exceeded its revenue. After that, looking at the net income is also known as the bottom line of the income statement, as that is the last line item on the income statement. The net income tells us how much money is left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligation, and taxes. When we look at the net income from 2011 through 2019, we can see that Valero's net income has always stayed positive and has fluctuated from a high of about $4 billion to a low of about $2 billion. Back in 2011, Valero's net income was about $2 billion. In 2019, it was about $2.4 billion. And for the year 2020, it was a negative number, which means that Valero made a loss for that calendar year. When we look at the past 10-year trend of net income and compare that to the operating income, we can see that there has been one unique year in the history of Valero, and that is in 2017, when Valero's net income was higher than its operating income. What this means is the company had some non-operational sales. In other words, it sold some assets, which helped inflate its net income for that calendar year. We see a similar situation for the year 2020, when the operating income was negative $1.5 billion, and the net income was negative $1.4 billion, which means that the company sold some of its non-operational assets, had some one-time sales, which helped decrease its net income loss. Next, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2011, Valero paid out about 30 cents per share as dividend, and for the year 2020, it paid out about $3.92 per share as dividend. Over the past 10 years, Valero has hiked its dividends every year for the past 10 years. As shareholders, we want to be invested in companies that are consistent at paying out its dividends, and it's even better if the company is hiking its dividends. Next, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2011, Valero had 569 million shares outstanding, and for the year 2020, it had about 407 million shares outstanding. Over the past 10 years, we can see that the company has been buying back its shares as its share count has been decreasing. As shareholders, we want to see companies buy back its shares, as this process of buybacks actually increases the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next, looking at the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2011, the company's book value was about $30 per share. For the year 2019, it was about $51.6 per share. And for the year 2020, it was about $47 per share. This drop in book value from 2019 through 2020 indicates that in the year 2020, the company either decreased its assets or increased its liabilities. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2011, Valero's free cash flow was at $1.6 billion. In 2019, it was $3.5 billion, and the number was negative in 2020 because its capital spending was more than its operating cash flow. The past 10-year trend shows that except for the year 2020, the free cash flow has always been positive. I will not be using the 2020 free cash flow number in my DCF discounted free cash flow or my expected rate of return calculation, as 2020 was a unique year and it does not provide a true picture of Valero's intrinsic value. Instead, I will be using the 2019 free cash flow number of $3.537 billion in my DCF discounted free cash flow analysis. And I will be using the free cash flow numbers from 2011 through 2019 for my expected rate of return calculation. Next, looking at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the net income to its revenue. Back in 2011, the company's net margin was about 1.66%. For the year 2019, it was about 2.23%, and the year 2020 has a negative net margin because the net income was negative. For the year 2019, a 2.23% means that every $100 that Valero made in sales, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, paid interest on its debt obligations and taxes, it had $2.23 left as pure profit. Ideally, we want to invest in companies with high net margin, as it indicates that more money is left over at the end of the day. Valero's net margin from 2011 through 2019 has always fluctuated in the low single digits. These low single digit net margin numbers are comparable to its competitors such as HollyFrontier. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity compares the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities whose return on equity is greater than 8% every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2011, Valero's return on equity was about 13%, and for the year 2019, it was about 11%. The return on equity for the year 2020 was negative because its net income was negative. If we disregard this 2020 number, we can see that Valero's return on equity for the past 10 years has always been greater than 8%. Next, looking at the return on invested capital. The return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2011, the company's return on invested capital was about 10%. For the year 2019, it was about 9%. And that number was negative in 2020 because its income was negative. Ideally, we want to invest in companies whose return on invested capital is greater than its cost of capital, as that would indicate that the company is actually creating value for its shareholders by pursuing that investment. Valero's weighted average cost of capital right now is about 11.5%, so we would want the return on invested capital to be at least 11.5% or greater. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Benjamin Graham preferred to only invest in securities who had interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Back in 2011, Valero's interest coverage was about 9.28 times. For the year 2019, it was about 8.68 times. And the interest coverage was negative in 2020 because its income was negative. When we look at the interest coverage trend from 2011 through 2019, we can see that Valero's interest coverage has always been greater than 5 times. Next, looking at the financial health of the company, the first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. A number greater than 1 indicates that the company has more than enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be 1.5 or higher. Back in 2011, Valero's current ratio was about 1.26. For the year 2020, it was about 1.71. Next is the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. A quick ratio greater than 1 indicates that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's quick ratio was at 0.78, and for the year 2020, it was at 1.01. Both the current and quick ratio for the latest quarter indicate that the company is liquid enough to fulfill its current liabilities and survive for another 12 months. Next is the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A higher financial leverage indicates that more of the company's assets are financed through liabilities. Back in 2011, Valero's financial leverage was at 2.61, and in the year 2020, it was at 2.75. Over the past 10 years, Valero's financial leverage has stayed fairly consistent, hovering from a low of about 2.2 to a high of about 2.75. Finally, looking at the debt to equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want to see the company's equity portion to be greater than its debt portion. In other words, we want to see the company's debt to equity to be at least less than 1.0. It's even better if it's less than 0.5. Back in 2011, Valero's debt to equity was at 0.41. It stayed below 0.5 all the way through 2019 when it was at 0.46. In 2020, Valero's debt to equity increased to 0.79, which indicates that the company took on more debt in that calendar year. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives us an idea of how many days go by from the day a company recognizes its sales to the day it actually receives cash for the service rendered. Back in 2011, Valero's day sales outstanding was at 19.25 days, and for the year 2020, it was at 36.27 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying fairly consistent or decreasing. And that has been the case from 2011 through 2019, when the day sales outstanding have hovered in the low 20s. However, the jump up in 2020 to 36 indicates that the company was more aggressive with its revenue recognition tactics in 2020. In other words, the company reported a little bit inflated revenue in the year 2020 because it was aggressive with its accounting measures. Next, looking at the day's inventory, this number gives an idea of how many days does Valero's inventory sit in its system before it's sold. Back in 2011, Valero's inventory sat in its system for about 16 days. For the year 2019, it was about 23 days. And for the year 2020, it was about 36 days. It shouldn't be surprising to see Valero's day's inventory number increase in 2020 because with the decreased demand for its refined products, the company had to stockpile on its inventory. After that, looking at the payables period, this number gives an idea of how many days does Valero take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2011, Valero took about 24 days to pay its suppliers. In the year 2019, it took 33 days, and for the year 2020, it took about 45 days. In the future years, we want this payables period to steady out or drop off. We definitely do not want the payables period to keep increasing. Finally, looking at the inventory turnover, this number gives an idea of how many times does Valero's inventory go through its system in a calendar year. Back in 2012, the inventory turnover was about 23 times. It dropped down to about 12.29 times in 2016. Then it got back up to 17.26 times in 2018 and dropped back off in 2020 to 10 times. This cyclicality in the inventory turnover numbers is inherent with any company in the oil and gas sector. Now let's look at the current valuation of Valero and compare it to the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price to earnings ratio. Valero does not have a PE ratio because its earnings were negative. S&P 500, on the other hand, has a PE of 27.4. Next is price to book. Valero's price to book is at 1.7, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.0. After that, price to sales. Valero's price to sales is at 0.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 2.8. Next, price to cash flow. Valero is at 33. Whereas S&P 500 is at 16.3. And finally, the dividend yield. Valero's dividend yield is at 5.1%, whereas S&P 500 is at 1.7%. The price to book, price to sales, and the dividend yield indicate that Valero is undervalued to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for Valero. Over here, I pasted the 2019 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which is at $3.537 billion. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 5%. What this means is I expect Valero's free cash flow to grow at 5% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 11.5%. What this means is I expect this investment to give me an 11.5% return. This 11.5% is in line with the company's weighted average cost of capital. In other words, the company has to at least meet or surpass this 11.5% return in order to create shareholder value. Next, the long-term growth rate, I'm using 3%. What this means is I expect Valero's free cash flow to grow at 3% every year from the 10-year mark into perpetuity. Valero has 407 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $13,954,000,000. I got this number from the company's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the intrinsic value to be about $83.49 per share. When we compare this to the current stock price of about $77 per share, we can see that the current stock is actually trading about 8% below the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $25.8 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be from the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up and get the intrinsic value to be about $48 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $83.49 per share. If we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if we think that Valero's free cash flow will only grow for the next 10 years and then the growth will just stop, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity component to be about $29 per share. If we disregard both the debt and the perpetuity, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt and perpetuity to be about $63 per share. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for Valero. Over here, I pasted the past 9 years of free cash flows that I got from Morningstar from the year 2011 through 2019. For the year 2020, I'm using the free cash flow from 2019 since 2020 was such a unique year that the numbers from 2020 would not provide a true representation of what the future potential of Valero holds. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get over the years. Over the past 10 years, the company's free cash flow has always been positive. Next, looking at future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 35% likelihood that Valero's free cash flow will grow at 5%. There's a 50% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 3%. And a 15% likelihood that its free cash flow will decline at 3%. These are the potential free cash flow arrays that we get into the future. After taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 407 million shares, at the current stock price of about $77 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 12.1% on this investment. What this means is, if you were to purchase a share of Valero at the current stock price of about $77 per share and hold it through 2040, we can expect to get a return of about 12.1% on this investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We reviewed the company's three key operating segments and saw how the refining segment brought in about 94% of the company's total 2020 revenue. Their revenue over the past 10 years has been fluctuating, which is inherent with an oil and gas company. The operating income as well as net income over the past 10 years has been positive, except for the year 2020, when both those numbers turned negative, primarily because of the drop in sales and the increased operating expenses. After that, we saw that the company has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. Valero's return on equity has been greater than 8% every year for the past 10 years. Its return on invested capital is less than its weighted average cost of capital. However, the return on invested capital is comparable to its competitors such as HollyFrontier. Additionally, Valero's interest coverage has been greater than 5 times for most of the past 10 years, which indicates that the company's interest obligations are not getting out of control. After that, we looked at the company's current and quick ratio, which both point out that the company has more than enough current assets to fulfill its current liabilities and has enough liquidity to survive for another 12 months. Next, we looked at the company's financial leverage and debt to equity ratio, which pointed out that the company does not have too much debt and is comparable to its competitors such as HollyFrontier. Next, we looked at the efficiency ratios and saw that the efficiency for the year 2020 had declined primarily due to the pandemic. The company was aggressive in recognizing its revenue in the year 2020, which helped inflate its revenue numbers. After that, we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis and found the intrinsic value of Valero to be about $83.5 per share, which when we compared to the current stock price of about $77 per share, would indicate that the current stock is trading about 8% below the company's intrinsic value. Next, we looked at the expected rate of return calculation and found that if you were to invest in this security at the current stock price of $77 per share and hold it through 2040, we can expect to get a return of about 12.1% on this investment. It is important to note that Valero's refineries still operate at reduced rates, and with the higher cost of corn, the company's ethanol division is going to report lower profit margins. However, after the pandemic into the summer, as travel picks up, the demand for Valero's refined products is going to pick up, leading to Valero reporting higher sales numbers. In conclusion, Valero is financially and fundamentally sound. Its profitability is likely going to resume in 2021, and it appears to be a good 3 to 5 year long-term investment. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Valero interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions as to which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I will greatly appreciate it. Thank you.